A clean heart create in me, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the octave, the eighth day, of the beautiful Feast of the Sacred Heart. We continue with our Sacred Heart devotion throughout June, and of course, by God's grace, every Friday night of the year, with our perpetual novena during benediction. Today, on the octave of the Sacred Heart, we see a number of saints who best exemplify that height and depth and length and breadth of the love of the charity of Christ. That is to say, martyrs. Today is the day of the first martyr in England, St. Alban, with a wonderful tale in the 3rd century. He was a man who took in a priest who was being pursued by the pagan soldiers, and then when they approached the house, the man insisted on changing clothes with the priest so that he would be arrested and that the priest might go free. A beautiful example of charity and priestly honor. Today is the feast day as well in the calendar of St. Paulinus of Nola, who was, we might say, a virtual martyr of charity. He was willing to lay down his life for the least of Christ's brethren, and the feast day of a great English martyr who lived in the 16th century, so long after the first martyr in England, also a very holy bishop, St. John Fisher, who actually did shed his blood. You know that the sin of schism, which separates one from the Catholic Church, is a sin against charity, and in opposition to that sin, as well as to heresy, our saint gave his life. He was beheaded on this day in the year 1535. Both of these men, St. Paulinus of Nola, who lived around the time of the fall of the Roman Empire, beginning of the 5th century, and then St. John Fisher, were deeply literate men, very, very learned men, great authors and teachers themselves. And they were men who left everything. They left their learning, and they left their money, and they left comfort and power. And finally, they left life itself in order to follow our Lord. St. Paulinus was a Roman patrician, a nobleman, a man of vast estates and wealth, who was what we would call today a public servant in what is today France. He was a pagan, and he met his wife, who was equally wealthy. She was from Spain. Teresia was her name. And the two of them together embraced our holy faith. He says that when he became a Christian, joy overwhelmed him like a flood. What a beautiful thought that is. But our Lord was soon to try their faith. Their only child died in infancy. But that was the occasion for them to consecrate themselves further to our Lord. They separated, living as brother and sister, and at the insistence of the Bishop of Barcelona, St. Paulinus was ordained a priest. Then the two of them went to Italy, to Campania, where they settled by the tomb of St. Felix of Nola, who was a saint to whom St. Paulinus was tremendously devoted. You know, sometimes we Catholics can love, as we should, our saints so much that a saint becomes for us our living link with our Lord. And our Lord, in the mercies of his heart, is most pleased that it should be so. That's how it was for St. Paulinus. He loved St. Felix so much. He wrote a beautiful, long, a very classical poem in his honor each year for many, many years when he lived there at Nola. And he and his wife operated a kind of a monastery guest house, a bit like those Catholic worker houses they used to have during the time of the Depression. The bottom floor was for the homeless or destitute and for guests. And then the second floor was a kind of a monastery where a number of married couples lived in a community now, celibate lives, wearing a habit, fasting, and praying the entire divine office together. St. Paulinus only left his house in order to do a work of charity. He continued to give very generously of his money for the support of the poor and for public works. And he went to Rome once a year on a pilgrimage for the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. When the bishop of the city died, he was elected bishop because of his supereminent qualities and his great piety. At that time, the barbarians were invading the Roman Empire, and they came down to his city, the city of Nola in Campania, and he did his very best to cushion the blow for his people. And he gave of his own wealth in order to ransom those who had been taken hostage and were going to be sold into slavery in Africa. Finally, he had nothing left, they say, and a poor widow woman came to him and said, "My only son, who is my only support, has been taken away by these barbarians. He's going to be sold as a slave. Help me." And so they say that St. Paulinus, in the depth of his charity, gave of himself in exchange for this son so he could go home to take care of his elderly mother, and that he worked for a while in Africa, but when it was known who he was, even the barbarian king had to respect that. And he, along with everyone from his diocese, were set at liberty and allowed to return home. They say that his very last act, when he died in the year 431, was to order that 50 silver pieces, which he had just received, should be given to some poor people so that some clothing could be bought for them. St. John Fisher lived more than 10 centuries later, but he too is a Sacred Heart saint. You know that he and St. Thomas More were in the tower together, and St. John Fisher was killed, was martyred first on this day. On the 9th of July of the same year was the turn for St. Thomas More. But St. Thomas More wrote a beautiful prayer to beg for perseverance, that he could persevere till his martyr's crown, and he asked the intercession of this new martyr. He referred to St. John Fisher as a man after thine own heart, O Lord. St. John Fisher truly was a Sacred Heart saint. Again, a very educated man. He was the chancellor of Cambridge University. He was a favorite of the grandmother of Henry VIII, who was the Queen Margaret, and through her intercession, he became bishop of a very small diocese called Rochester in England. There he led a very austere, a penitential life. He was very zealous for the sick and for the poor. As he would travel around his diocese, if he heard that there was a sick person nearby, he would stop and go in and visit. And if they were near to death, he would give a beautiful little sermon just for the benefit of that one person to help him to prepare for his death, for his trip to eternity. And they say he did a tremendous amount of good for souls by these little individual visits. Imagine a man who had so much to do, but he took care of his diocese soul by soul. Well, when Henry VIII insisted on having his divorce, and then later on breaking away from the church, claiming to be Pope in his own country of England, St. John Fisher prudently but firmly opposed him. He it was who said those famous words that are true, unfortunately, of so many today: "The fort is betrayed even of them that should have been its defenders." And of course, he is referring to the bishops in England in his day. Well, the mind of St. John Fisher was well known. He was arrested, he was thrown into the Tower of London, and eventually he was condemned to death, to be beheaded. He was a man already worn out by fasting and by austerities and by penance. He was 66, but they say he looked a good 20 years older, and very, very emaciated, almost sort of a skeleton. When the time came, the day for his execution, the jailer awakened him at 5 o'clock in the morning. And this is an interesting tale which goes to show how if we have our heart in the Sacred Heart, we are at peace. And the other things, well, they don't really matter. So the jailer awakes him at 5 o'clock and says, "My lord, today is the day of your execution. Prepare yourself." And he smiles at him and says, I pray thee, allow me to sleep an hour or twain more, meaning an hour or two more. I had a very bad night, he said, not because I'm worried about dying for my faith, but simply because of all of my old age and infirmities, and I could use the rest. So he turns over and he goes back to sleep, and he sleeps two more hours of a very refreshing sleep. And then at 7 o'clock he wakes up, and soon they make the procession. He puts on his fur. Back then the bishops were kind of a fur collar called a tippet. He put that on to keep himself warm, and he took his little New Testament with him, and he paused to rest on the way because he was so weak he couldn't make it all. And he opened the Bible to, they would do that back then, he opened the Bible to find a verse to comfort him. And it was a verse from the Last Supper, St. John's Gospel, in which our Lord says, "And now I am going to the Father." And he was very comforted by that. And he manages to climb up the platform. He says one psalm, and then he recites the Te Deum of exaltation and gratitude to God. And then he bows his head, and he dies. When he died, they plundered, or when he was removed from his see and arrested, they plundered his episcopal palace. And as it was usual, those who did that could take whatever they wanted to. And they were very disappointed, the men were, who came from the king, as there was nothing of any worth. Finally, they found in his bedroom a chest that was locked. And they thought to themselves, aha, now this must be where he keeps his gold. And with great joy, they broke it open. And you know what they found therein, in the chest, the one treasure? They found several little scourges, his instruments of penance, whereby he would do penance for his sins and for the sins of others. That was the treasure that he left behind. He wrote a very beautiful book I could recommend to you called An Exposition on the Penitential Psalm. Do you remember how I asked you all to read a book at for Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday? Well, and I asked the children to do a book report. Well, one lady from Brooklyn, who is a correspondent, although she's an adult, wrote a book report on this book, The Exposition of the Penitential Psalms by St. John Fisher. Reading the book report itself, which is very well written, gives one a desire to read the book. It's a book published now by Ignatius Press, and I could recommend it to you because the Psalms are the most excellent prayer. They are the very prayer of Christ himself, and the seven penitential psalms are expressive of contrition of heart. So St. John Fisher, his whole life long as priest and bishop, had that sorrow or contrition of heart, not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. He was a great, great saint in his age, and he, along with St. Paulinus, are wonderful examples, martyrs of charity, truly saints of the Sacred Heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.